Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back in on a Tuesday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams, B-Dub, our producer slash musical director.
Good text from the text line, from the 913. Texas will be to the SEC what Nebraska has been to the Big Ten.
Name only.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Conference realignment was a great money grab for everybody, and I'll never, ever, ever fault them on that. But other than, like, Texas A&M and Missouri, has anybody had any sort of success since they left the Big 12 and realigned their conference?
Colorado, a smidgen, but it's...
Nebraska hasn't.
Nope.
I mean, Missouri and Texas A&M done fine. Just fine.
Yep.
Done a nice job in
football.
Missouri
did fine early.
Yeah. They're rebuilding it now. I like their coach. I think he's funny. He posted a picture from Disney World on Friday when all the stuff was going on with Nick Saban going, hey, I'm at Disney World. Which I love. I love the trolling.
Did the SEC commissioner give it a thank you?
He liked for not, it. For not, yeah, he liked the post.
Not diving in since he canceled everybody else's chats with everybody.
I saw that. I'm like, I kind of like this guy. I like Mr. Drinkwitz over there. I like him trolling everybody. That's fun. Man after my own heart. So, yeah, I mean,
Texas to the SEC just doesn't.
I mean, we're going to see day one of the season. They're going to get housed by Alabama.
I just don't. They haven't been any good in the Big 12.
Right.
I don't understand. Like, since Mac's been gone, right?
Since Mac Brown left, they have not been a good program.
I don't understand how they think they're going to go and compete in the SEC. But anyway, that's their problem.
Yeah, that's not my problem. See ya.
Speaking of problems, we got a lot of problems.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
With this here baseball team. Got off to a good start last night, put up 4 in the first inning and lost. They did hit 3 home runs off the guy. It was ended up being the dude that ghosted his wife.
Yeah, Davies guy. Yeah,
his wife for a year, Davies, who
good fella.
He was in the news last week because his wife filed for divorce. She hadn't spoken to him in a year. He texted her one morning and said, "We're done." Blocked her number, and she hadn't heard from him since.
So she filed for divorce
and
got it.
No idea what was up.
This guy's a clown.
Apparently, just. Ghosted her. He gave up 3 home runs in the first to the Royals last night.
And they were up, 4-0 at the end of the first, at the end of the half inning. They were outscored 9-1 the rest of the way.
Correct.
I'm just making sure I got the math right.
Yeah, you did. Okay. You got the math right. According to the box score. That's all I'm getting.
Yeah.
You think there is one thing that's been, too late to do anything about now?
I think probably so.
But a missing component to this Royals roster / clubhouse.
I think this goes for every team in professional sports. And maybe even a high level collegiate sports as well, if you want to go that deep into it. They need a red ass on their team. They need a jerk in the locker room who's going to hold everybody accountable. Who's that player that's going to get in your face and say, "You stink"? Who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the player, the peer, that holds these guys accountable? When the Royals were winning, they had Moose, and Dyson was one of those guys who'd get up in somebody's face when they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. I felt like Vargas was kind of in that mold as well. You need a little red ass down there every once in a while. I don't think the Royals think have
just,
that.
Did Vargas just get in our faces? I don't know if he got,
I felt like he was kind of
I don't know if he
guy.
Held anybody in there accountable.
Yeah, maybe not.
He
I don't know.
The media accountable.
Yeah, good
he
for
was,
you,
he
man.
Was there to
great.
Grouch at everybody.
He was just a grouchy son of a gun. But I think the manager can only do so much, right? Dayton can only do so much. JJ can only do so much. You need one of your peers to be in that locker room holding guys accountable and saying to guys, it's time to pick it up. It's time to start playing better baseball. Who that guy is, I don't know that he exists on the Royals right now. And I don't know that you just go out and find that guy now, like a Johnny Gomes type of player. You're not going out and finding that guy right now to come into your clubhouse. But as teams build themselves and move forward, you need that guy who's going to hold everybody accountable and say, you're not pulling your weight around here. What is it that you say you do here? One of those guys that is truly going to be that player in the locker room that holds the rest of the team accountable. I don't think they have the guy with the right demeanor. Everybody on this team is nice. Witt's a great guy. Nicky's a great guy. Bobby Witt's a young kid. He has no kind of street cred yet. Michael A. Taylor's a nice guy. Yeah, you know, Hunter Dozier's a good dude. Salvi's a great guy. Like, they're all nice guys.
I need it to be Salvi.
I need a red ass.
I need it to be Salvi. Like, of that group, Salvi's the only one that's accomplished anything.
Mm-hmm.
He can also get away with being the happy-go-lucky Salvi that we've seen, but also the guy that can turn it on and go,
hey,
and
pick it up.
He's going to command the attention. When I'm pissed, you know it's time to be pissed.
Right. But I don't know if he's got that in him where it would be like a credible type thing.
I don't know. I mean, that guy's got to – I feel like internally that's got to be Salvi. He's the only one with any cred.
Only
Santana's best days are behind him. He can't do it anymore.
No.
He's just got to do him to try to stay alive in the major leagues right now, right?
Right.
But in the future, would you look for somebody who's got a little bit of an edge? Probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I mean, back in the day, you know, you had a guy like Jason Kendall inside that locker room or Jose Guillen inside that locker room. You always had somebody that was going to say, what are you doing, man? Let's go. Let's pick it up. Let's start playing better. Because if you're held accountable by your boss, that's one thing. But when you start getting held accountable by the people that you work with and your peers that you're not pulling the weight, that's a completely different ballgame. And I think every team in every sport needs that kind of guy. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, Tyrann Mathieu being kind of that guy.
For a while,
I think he was that kind of guy. Then it got old, and you have to move on, and the message does get stale. Can't be the same guy every single year. But you got to make sure you have one of those guys on your team, especially in baseball, right? Especially in this sport.
Now, do you seek that out in, like, free agents? I think you kind of do.
I think you have to,
You kind of try to find that guy that's accomplished something that's willing to dish it out. They don't need the they don't need the Beltran, you're good enough, you're smart enough, doggone it, people like you.
You mean Ibanez?
Ibanez, yeah. Who did I say?
Beltran.
Ibanez. Yeah. You know, when Ibanez was here, like, he did have the credibility of he's been there, he's done that, but that was more like the pep talky version.
They needed
I don't need the pep talky version right now.
No.
I need someone who's accomplished a little something and is not going to stand for whatever's happening now.
Right. Because I think now it's on the players. You know,
too late for this season. If you acquired that now, it's not going to.
No, it's, you know,
it's not going to be enough. But I think in the future, do you look for something like that?
Because you can't just go out and acquire a guy right now and have him come in the next day and all of a sudden be like the guy who's going to, you know, be that guy. You can't do that, right? So I think going forward, you need to make sure that that guy's on your roster. That guy's here from the start of spring training. And, you know, who's this guy? Well, you know, the hockey's got their goons that come in and they fight. You know, like, that's all they do. You need that guy. Why is this guy here? To hold you accountable. That's why.
I think Santana would have been a nice wish for that to have happened too.
But is that his personality?
I don't know.
You can't create
that. I don't know. But I'm like a been there, done that guy that is respected enough, that is accomplished enough, that will command that respect too. Because I think that's a big part of it.
And
you have to have accomplished something to be able to have done it. Now, like, Benintendi's accomplished something, right? He was part of the.
But he's got personality to do that.
But he's. He was kind of seen as it wasn't the greatest fit there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he struggled, and then whatever. This was like a reclamation spot for him. Doesn't fit that mold either.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, he's too quiet and reserved.
There needs to be, you need to have a little edge to somebody.
Like, you need a Gatorade cooler thrown. Who is that guy that breast smelled like tuna that threw the Gatorade bucket? And who was that guy? It was a catcher back in the day. Bald guy threw the garbage can out onto the field.
On the Royals?
Yeah.
I don't know the tuna breast.
Yeah, I remember one time interviewing him. He just eating tuna sandwich and his breast smelled like tuna fish. I'm like, no.
A catcher?
Yeah. DeFelice. Remember when Mike DeFelice did that through the water cooler?
I don't.
You don't? The garbage can? Yeah, that guy.
I don't.
You need somebody
like
that.
Mike DeFelice sounds
like the backup catcher needs to be your red ass.
Right.
Like an old school baseball player who's been around.
Cam Gallagher seems really nice too.
Too
they,
nice.
They think he's one of the funnier guys on the team.
But he's not an old school, greasy baseball player, right? Yeah.
All I could think of was George Kitaris. I knew that wasn't it.
No, he was a red ass to us, too.
Yeah, I don't know how that translates to his...
For a guy who accomplished nothing in big league baseball.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, it's one thing if you're like an accomplished player and you want to be a jerk to people, Jeter. But if you're like George Kitaris...
That doesn't resonate? No.
You're looking at me and you want to say something. What have you done, 207?
Well, yeah, that's got to come through free agency.
Yeah.
So free agent needs include a little bit of a D.
Yeah.
That's going to be on your wish list
like
next offseason.
Like your backup catcher, instead of being a young guy like Cam Gallagher or MVP.
I could really use a guy that would solidify right field and be kind of a jerk.
Right.
Okay. Let's go out and find that in free agency.
I need somebody who's going to hold these guys accountable because, again, at the end of the day, like we sit here and we want to blame the front office or the manager and all. And no, this is on the players now. Eventually, it has to come back to you and say, I'm the one that's going out here and doing this. Mike Matheny's not playing. Dayton's not playing. It's you guys that are playing. Eventually, the onus now, not eventually anymore, the onus is on the players. It's up to them to turn it around. What the hell else is the manager supposed to do? Right? I'm asking, what's the manager supposed to do?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's done all he can.
Right. I do, too.
He's pushed. He's... put his arm around you. I feel like he's pushed, and he's talked about it with us. He's pushed the different motivational buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many can you be pushing? And feel like he's tried just about all of them.
Right.
So,
what does it become upon you where you're like, all right, I'm tired of this. I got to play better.
Well, then does that work? Because I got to do better. And then we're into pressing, and then we're like, the whole cycle starts again. I don't know. It's a fine line. But do they need someone that can hold them accountable a little bit better?
They need a teammate that's going to do that.
I think so.
Go in there and throw the water cooler at somebody.
Put that down for your free agency list.
Red ass. From the 816, I played against Mike DeFelice when he was managing the Mets rookie ball, and I have a great red ass story about him. We need this story.
There's the line, 913-576-7610.
I'll take your phone call on that one.
Jimbo's doubling down with stats, even. They're not paying everybody at 8 a.m. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iwaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Weigh in on the text line at 913-576-7610. Name an athlete you expected to be better.
You.
Your mom.
Your mom.
What comes to mind?
Chucking up the three.
When you saw somebody, you're like, I thought they were going to be better. Yeah. I really thought that was going to be.
And I'll just head you off of the pass. We've received enough Cody Tapp texts during.
Yeah, we said athlete too.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Although I guess if you win the combine, are you an athlete? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jose Rosado was on my list on that one. That was one that always came to mind. Like I always thought maybe it was just in those days of Royals baseball. You're like trying to grab something, which maybe this portion of Royals baseball too. We're just trying to grab like one thing, something. I'm like, I just thought he was a difference maker. He was going to be an anchor to the rotation. He was going to be an ace, guy that could lead it. Played like 5 years and
I can't believe he played that long.
4-something ERA. I know he had 5 years. 5 years with the Royals under his belt. But name an athlete you expected to be better. Fesco says Josh Selby.
Josh Selby's mine. Yeah. I really bought into the hype.
Well, he had that first game, remember?
The first game was just glorious against USC. I'll never forget. I was there. Yeah, my wife almost went into labor. We were going to name the baby Selby if he was born that day.
He had the first game, came flying out of the chute.
Thank God she wasn't.
There wasn't much else with Josh Selby.
Now that was it.
And
Selby.
And B-Dub went with Eric Warfield.
Yeah.
Felt like the Chiefs played him out of position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of CEHs coming in. Too. We've received that a lot. I'm with you. I think right now he's the biggest bust of the Brett Veach era. Now you've got an opportunity to fix that and get back in the good graces. But right now that running back pick at number 32, I mean, if that's the biggest bust of the era.
A victim of overhype too.
Yeah. You know, and National, I blame Peter Schrager. Yeah,
Schrager led that one. I think that one he could probably wear.
The reason I blame him though for that is because, you know, yesterday Good Morning Football did a rank your top five running backs under 25 and
CEH.
And he did not have CEH.
CEH.
Wow.
On that list.
Because he was on the front end of how great a pick it was for the Chiefs.
CEH.
Right.
I think we all bought into that.
CEH.
So, yeah, CEH coming in quite a bit on the text line, 913-576-7610. Here's a good one from, not too distant past.
CEH.
But, Glenn Dorsey.
I thought Dorsey was going to be good, too. I thought so, too. Yeah. And he never was. But I will also go back to the fact that they were drafting guys out of a defense that they weren't running here. Yeah, and expecting, yes. Like, it was stupid.
They were trying to
grab players, put them in a vastly different system, and hope it worked. It didn't seem like it was a great plan. Keila Kaiahui.
That's another good one, yeah. Yeah.
Just someone you expected to be better, that you thought, that guy's got a shot, mm-hmm. and then just really
and it
wasn't.
Doesn't even have to be a local guy. It could be anybody, really, for that matter. Like, was there a quarterback, Josh, you it's may have even, thought was supposed even, to be really good?
It's not even necessarily a bust. It doesn't have to be a bust. Just somebody you thought was going to be better.
Like Geno Smith. You were rooting for him to be drafted with the 1-1 pick when the Chiefs had that in 2013. He's still playing in the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. He's contending for the job in Seattle.
Yeah. Eric Fisher no longer playing in the NFL, but still the right pick. Also thought that Patrick Mahomes would be a flyer in the third round.
Yeah, it's a good project quarterback at one point in time.
You know who was in on Mahomes early?
Jay Binkley?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah, he was.
That's exactly right.
He was. Someone says every Missouri basketball player. So yeah. That's obviously a Missouri fan saying it. They really expected every Missouri basketball player to be better.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Peeler had a great career. Played for the Lakers.
How long did he play for? He played for a good amount of time,
He had a great career.
I mean, you get five or more years in any professional sport, that's a great career. Your numbers, but you 5 years in professional sport? Hell yeah. Let's go.
Now, Michael Porter, on the other hand,
yeah,
not so much.
No, you didn't expect him to be better. Other than if he healed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you heard back, and that was should have been.
Tyson Jackson was the other guy that came from LSU, right?
Yes.
And he's coming in on the text line as well. Again, another guy who was a victim, I believe, of the team failing him more of the team than he failing the team.
He was moved into a different position too,
right? This is stupid. Yeah. Like that was dumb. That's like, you know, drafting a left-handed pitcher and saying, all right, you're going to play second base now and you got to play right-handed. Like, what? No. Like the Chiefs did that for a while. They were just drafting people and trying to fit them in instead of, you know, I saw a quote this morning about Russell Wilson. I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit about it, but the quote was, we're building this offense around Russell Wilson. Good. You know, that's kind of what you should do when you got the quarterback, right? No matter who that quarterback is. But you also should do that with high draft picks. I mean, if you're drafting Tyson Jackson and Glenn Dorsey, and they're
better
good
make at, sure they fit your system.
Yeah. Or not change your system because you spent high draft picks on these guys.
DeAnthony Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good Spectre texting in.
Kyle Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
John Baldwin,
yeah. Ryan Sheely.
You expected Ryan Sheely to be better?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kyle Zimmer.
The easy answer, someone says, is Mondesi, but I'll throw out Armani Watts. Really?
Armani Watts.
I feel like those two are in the same realm. But maybe it's fine if you expected Armani Watts to be better.
Right.
That's fine. But I can't say he was the same like hype level as Mondesi was.
No.
Will Myers.
That was a great piece for a great trade that won the Royals a world championship. Will Myers was one of the more valuable players in this organization.
Aren't you a little bit okay
had.
That he wasn't better? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Like in hindsight. He didn't want him to be a whole lot better.
He was a really good, is he still playing? He's a really good baseball player.
He's a decent player.
Good player.
You didn't want him to be really good, did you?
No, you didn't want him to go on and start, but the Royals won a world championship because they traded him. It worked out great, yeah.
We had Manti Te'o earlier. Someone does point out, though, that he didn't finish the text. He said Manti Te'o's girlfriend expected that to be better. That would make more sense than the Manti Te'o one.
Do you think Lene Kakua is still with us?
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. On a phone, on the other end of a phone somewhere. I thought Todd Marinovich was going to be something. Yeah,
the headline news guy?
I was with you, too. Marinovich was destined to be better. 913-576.
I also just wanted to double-check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Dan Kilgore is exactly who I expected him to be. Jimbo Fisher's doubling down. Still calls what Saban did to him. Complete lies. He had the news conference, of course, on late last week and called it despicable. Saban said he thinks he's God. And now he's got the numbers, Bob. He's got the numbers. So Jimbo Fisher comes back, does a TV interview, says, I just researched this. Of the 11 guys we have in place that came early, one guy is an NIL deal. So all these stories you're hearing are complete lies.
So he came back with a spreadsheet.
Not all 11 of them have a deal. Just one.
Just one.
He questions social media posts that claim the Aggies had a $30 million fund for NIL deals. It was written on social media. You got news channels that believed it, and you believed it. To this reporter, Greg Simmons of KSAT Television.
Little known fact about Greg Simmons, him and I started at the same radio station in Seguin, Texas.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. There you go.
Turning well, out talent down there.
He's, nice. He's getting lambasted by Jimbo. I'm asking you, Fisher said, did you do your research? No. So you just assumed. And that's the way the world goes now. As soon as it's written on social media and someone says it, you believe it.
That's right.
So where does that put you guys as reporters? Nobody wants the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You
right?
want a story and a click and a hit.
Yeah. You understand the business, sir. Thank you. And you're giving it to me
Thanks
right
for
now.
For opening up the books. First time books have ever been opened by a college football program. Jimbo Fisher will tell you only one of his 11 recruits has an NIL deal.
That's right.
Just one.
So he opened the books for everybody.
Apparently.
Is this going to be like the Al Davis firing of Lane Kiffin where he gets out there and reads everything?
With the overhead
With
projector.
With the overhead projector. See, we need that. I need that. I need more Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban stuff happening.
Oh, you're going to get it. Media days aren't too far away. So, yeah, you're going to get it.
They may cancel media days this year.
You're going to get it.
How about the SEC, though, telling them they can't do interviews last week?
Pretty bad.
Because you know Lane Kiffin was going to roll into that
thing.
Yeah,
he was Dan Patrick.
I know. Yeah, like yeah. No, yeah. I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
he's
going to
lean into
yeah.
it? Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah for sure we're leaning into
like,
it.
Like, it was
yeah.
going to get good.
Yeah.
The SEC said, you're going on. Oh, no, we're not doing this.
No.
But that's, you know, at this point of the year in May, it became the biggest story in college football in a time when nothing is going on in college football. Why don't you lean into this sucker if you're the SEC? Let it go. It's good.
Yeah, so they're fighting.
This is not a bad thing.
Let them handle it amongst themselves.
This continues to just drive interest in your product.
Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman is going to join us. If the Royals are in sell mode, is there a market for what they're selling? We'll ask him next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
At the K on June the 8th, all you have to do is stop by one of the participating Kansas City locations. The full list available at 610sports.com on the front page or in the contest section. You can come hang out with the 610 Sports Radio crew. We're going to have an entire section. Okay, you can win tickets. All you have to do is stop by these participating Kansas City locations. Look for the Boulevard Wheat sign. It's got a QR code. Scan that code. And it gives you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Royals and Jays on June the 8th, courtesy of Boulevard. So, again, check out Johnny's Tavern, the High Dive Lounge, the bar, the other place, Nick and Jake's, among others. Look for that Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code, and you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets. Come hang out with us at the ball game. We can lament together. We can see that. Lumpy
Alejandro Kirk,
Jay's catcher together. Find the Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code to win. Must be 21 to enter win. Boulevard unfiltered wheat, fresh look and same great taste. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball right now with Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Be smarter or bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. That's BETQL.com today.
John, I think one of the big reasons we wanted to have you on today is you got your ear to the street, as they say. Is there any talk out there about the Royals possibly starting to trade off pieces and start to look forward to what may be next as opposed to what is now?
No, I haven't heard anything this early. You know, occasionally there's a trade in May or early June, but 90% of trades happen in after July 15th. So not yet. They've got some pieces. Likely they will be sellers at this point, very likely. But it's a little too early for that, I think.
Well, what do you think is a valuable piece where they could get something legit back in return, starting with the big league roster first, and then we'll matriculate down to the minors, if you will. But at the big league level, my God, is a car hitting you? You got a bus behind you? What the hell is that? You're in the city running the streets? Oh, my God. Look out, Heyman!
It's nothing. It missed me by 10 inches. Don't worry about it.
Plenty of space out there. Thank goodness.
New York.
Yeah, look out. So start with the big league roster, and then we'll talk about the minor league kind of stuff. Like, is there anything at the big league roster right now that would get something back that could lend the Royals to having a legit return on investment in a trade from a big league standpoint that can help them moving forward?
Well, I would think Benintendi would have value. He's a free agent after the year. Certainly a good overall player. Maybe not the superstar that people were thinking he might be when he came up, but certainly a very solid starting outfielder. So I could see him being traded. You know, there have been rumors for a long time about Merrifield. This probably isn't the opportune time with him struggling so far this year. I mean, Nicky Lopez, I know there's interest in him. It's possible they could trade him. I would say the Royals, their strength is they have some great prospects more than they have great major league players ready to be traded.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder if trading like Andrew Benintendi or Whit Merrifield even, are you going to get anything of substance back in return, or are those trades that you look at where you get like a Brett Phillips back in return?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I would say, if assuming Merrifield gets back on track, I would say Merrifield has pretty good value. He's certainly a decent contract that he signed early. So, I would say that they've been reluctant to trade him, though. Obviously, a lot of teams have come after him in the past. And again, he needs to start playing like he has in the past, really, for there to be big value.
I mean, you're a menace on the streets today.
Oh, yeah. They can't catch me. They're trying to catch me, but they can't do it.
John Heyman playing Frogger through the streets of New York, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Very frustrated we are here in Kansas City, because I know from a national perspective, the predictions weren't great. But I saw this lineup, John, before the season started, and I thought, okay, this is a team that could probably hang around a little bit. You're going to have some of the young pitchers kind of step up. It seems like we've just kind of gotten into a camp where everything has to be perfect for this team to win. Where did you see before the season, and what are you seeing now that has led them to be in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, I still think they're in a rebuild. I thought they'd be a little better than this. They certainly lost more games than I would have anticipated. Certainly some of the teams in the division have improved. Minnesota's better. On paper, Detroit's better. They haven't been better on the field to this point. The White Sox should be good. They have not hit. I think they're in a rebuild. Their strength is the fact that Bobby Witt's going to be a great player, and Prado and some of their other prospects. To this point, they have not pitched like I would have thought they would have pitched. And so certainly there's some concern there.
John, looking at the minor leagues now, and this is my philosophy, I think if you're really going to rebuild this ball club, you've got to deal some of your prospects and do like the Yankees and Cardinals, for example, do, where they deal off their prospects and they get proven major leaguers back, like a Matt Holliday or, back in the day, Mark McGwire or Paul Goldschmidt, things like that. Is the system deep enough where they should start pairing off some of those minor leaguers to get those proven major leaguers back?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's unlikely. I mean, you'd have to have pretty good faith in your scouts to be a small market team and trading off prospects in the belief that, well, we have a better prospect. It's hard to predict exactly what prospects will do. There aren't many can't-miss prospects, and certainly most teams don't have two can't-miss prospects at one position in the minor leagues. So, that'd be great if they could figure out exactly which ones they should trade. But, we don't see small market teams trade off prospects. We really don't. They'd have to have incredible scouting inside there. Because, you don't want to take a chance of trading off, I'm not going to say the next Mike Trout, but, a good major leaguer, because the value is very high to get a guy who's going to be a good major leaguer the first 6 years, they don't make the money that they can make as a free agent. So it's just not something that small market teams do generally.
John Heyman with us here on 610 Sports Radio, our Odyssey Major League Baseball insider. I made the analogy yesterday, John, of baseball being like a shopping mall where you've got your anchor tenants that are, you know, the Yankees, and they're the Sears of the world, and you got your Dodgers, which are the Macy's, and then in between you got your Spencer's Gift, and you got your Hickory Farms, and you got your Sunglass Hut, and those calendar kiosks, and Sam Goody, and all that stuff. And those businesses are the ones that kind of keep the whole mall alive while the anchor tenants are able to kind of flourish on that. But it feels to me like baseball is kind of going the way of the shopping malls. You got your strong anchor tenants, but nobody in the middle of that mall is doing much business right now. Is baseball ever going to be able to get to the point where they're not looked at as a shopping mall where everybody can be an anchor tenant? Or are we just stuck with what we got for the rest of time?
Well, thank you for using Sears as an anchor tenant. I thought they'd got out of business. I didn't know they were thriving.
Yeah, so. Most places are the last one to go, you know?
I must have missed that. Maybe it's doing better in Kansas City than in Miami or New York. I don't know. But, you're fair. It's a fair analogy. I mean, no question that there are haves and have-nots, and it's really pronounced this year. You know, as of about 3 weeks ago, it certainly appeared that there were going to be, from my count, there were going to be 12 teams that were going to either win 100 or lose 100. 40%, that's too many. I think we're down to 10 or 9 at this point. That's still too many. We'd like to be much more competitive. We don't want those anchor stores, whether we call it Sears or Neiman or whatever.
Whoever, yeah.
Yeah, we don't. It's too much. I think in some sense it's good for baseball. The Yankees and Dodgers are thriving, but not this much. There's too much disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Do you think there's ever going to be a way to kind of level that playing field, though? I mean, I think that's the problem, is because here in Kansas City and Cincinnati and other places like that, we look at it, we go, we don't stand a chance with the way that the game is set up, barring like what the Royals did in 14 and 15, which is still remarkable. Barring something like that, it's very rare that Hickory Farms keeps the rest of them all alive.
Yeah. Well, Royals have done it, as you mentioned. Obviously Tampa's been doing it. Cleveland's been doing it pretty well. It's certainly a major disadvantage. It's been an issue for going on 3-4 decades in baseball, which is why we had money sharing, and it still hasn't solved the problem. It's not easy. You're right. I mean, what the Royals accomplished, amazing. Good for them. There have not been many small market teams to win the World Series. Obviously Tampa and Cleveland have come close. They haven't done it. Miami, that's not a small market, but it's small revenue. And they did win the World Series a couple times, but their downs are really down. So, it's certainly been one of the biggest problems in baseball going on 3-4 decades at this point. And I wish there was some resolution to it. They try to do things, and they seem to be incremental things. They don't seem to be severe enough that really makes it dead.
Yeah, I'm guessing I was overly optimistic that this last labor impasse would bring something closer or more helpful to small market teams. That didn't materialize. So are we, as Bob kind of asked, are we kind of in a, if it didn't happen now, what's to make it happen in the future? What would be that something that would push the league to be more conducive to doing that?
Well, I might give it more than a few months. We'll see. But it doesn't appear that it has done nothing to this point that we've seen. Hopefully, over the term of the CBA, which is 5 years, hopefully there will be some result from it. But we have not seen it yet. They're going to have to do something more drastic. I wouldn't recommend more revenue sharing, because some of those teams that take the money in, they're not spending it. Not all of them. I think Kansas City does a good job. They're very professional. But you've got some teams that, at least at some point, were pocketing money. So that may not be the answer. But it's probably going to take someone smarter than me to figure it out. But it's been, like I said, it's been going on 3-4 decades at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think is the answer, John? If you were the commissioner and you had the opportunity to do something like that, what would you suggest?
Yeah, certainly you can always try something with the draft. They've tried to prevent the tanking with the draft, but maybe you could juice up the draft a little bit, but it's a problem because they want you do one thing, it helps one area and hurts another. It is not easy. And like I said, the revenue sharing, which was the most obvious in the way they solved it in 95, and it's continued on with revenue sharing, not everybody is participating in the most honorable way. The Royals are good for them, but not every small market team does go out and spend money. Give the Royals credit. If Detroit tries, you know, there are teams that do spend money, but then there are some, like, oh, look at Oakland. My God. You know, they've spent nothing. They've traded away all their good players, and they're drawing 2,000-3,000 fans a game in many cases. So that's not good at all.
It's the real-life Major League we're living with. Rachel Phelps, now owner of the Oakland A's.
Not good. Not good. It's not good. The Oakland A's, not good. Cincinnati, not good what they did. They're winning a few more games now, but they were looking like they were going to threaten the 62 Mets for a while with all that they traded off. And, you know, their problems are compounded by a lot of bad moves. So their signings were not logical for a small market team. You know, their trades were not logical. You know, some teams, small market teams, only have themselves to blame. If you go back and look at that one Reds trade where they took on Kemp and Puig, two, you know, unwanted people at that time, and gave up two great prospects in Josiah Gray and Jeter Downs to the Dodgers. I mean, you can't do that just to get rid of the Homer Bailey contract, which they never should have signed. I mean, you can't do that. The Dodgers then, not just the money, because then they turned Gray and Downs into the Turner-Scherzer trade. There was another great trade they made there, too, the Betts trade. You know, so some of it is, it's not all about money. Some teams are just not run well.
John, thanks for a few minutes. Be careful in traffic, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, I'm dodging. Thanks.
That's our Odyssey MLB insider, John Heyman. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. What the hell is going on?
I have no idea.
The city, I guess, was going on.
Yes.
Should have put an order in for breakfast, you know.
Was he getting flapjacks?
Man.
A little late in the day. It's almost lunchtime.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you crashed at 11 o'clock hour. It's time to eat a steak.
He was at the deli.
I don't know. Every time, though, you get someone on the streets of New York, the sirens go.
Oh, yeah, that's just scary.
Every time we talk to Kyle Brandt,
mm-hmm.
there's a fire truck in the background.
Yep.
That sounded like there was a lot going on.
Yeah, it sounded like he almost got hit twice.
Like John literally dodged traffic twice.
Hey, get off the streets, you.
Yeah. Pay attention. He's lucky you got that. He's just run him over.
Not that I was expecting about it. I don't feel better, okay? I don't feel better.
No.
We don't see huge value returns. You're going to get prospects back.
That's why I think you still got to just steal your prospects and take
and then we
the
don't
bullet.
Often see teams because he said you got to have a great scouting department if you cast off your prospects. And that feels like a lot to ask. And then did he expect them to be better? Yeah, I think we all did. Even if people didn't expect this team to be a contender, I didn't expect them to be this record right now.
The one time the Royals were willing to risk their prospects, though, they turned it into a world championship team. That's how you build your big league roster, by trading your prospects. Prospects get you Shields and Davis, you know?
Again, offseason, though. You get better value then.
100%.
You get better value 100%. Then. You missed your window on Whit Merrifield.
100%.
And I was fully in favor of them not doing it, but to miss the window on Whit Merrifield.
You've
right?
done nothing but lose 90 to 100 games every year that Whit Merrifield has been here.
I understand, but I understand why they kept it. You missed the window to trade him, though. You missed the window.
You missed the window.
Okay? You're not going to get much in return. Benintendi's an expiring guy who you aren't going to bring back.
The good news is with Whit, though,
you're
they
not
do
get
have
a lot
another.
For that.
They've already picked that up, so he's grandfathered in wherever he goes.
Sure.
So you got a year and a half left, but he's not hitting.
He's not hitting, and I think you did miss his ultimate value window.
Right, you did. You missed the window.
Right?
Yeah.
Prospects, you have to have someone intrigued with a prospect. They traded off. At that time, they traded off their Bobby Witt.
Right.
Not in favor of that. I want Bobby Witt to be here. Right. You know, so.
But if they were to turn around and trade Asa Lacy tomorrow and, you know, or in the offseason, whatever, I don't have a problem with that. I don't.
No, I think probably a pitcher or two might be worth getting something back of value, or someone that could take. I know you need to have, you can't have too much pitching and all those things, but if it comes to having to part with an arm or two in order to get back something of substance, you have to try to think about it.
Right.
From a positional standpoint, but it's not a great spot to be in. There's no way, shape, or form around it. It's not a great spot to be in for them right now.
No, it's not. There's no easy answer. I don't even know there's a hard answer.
If you missed any of the show today, you can check it out, as always, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it for free and listen on the go. Even when you're in the streets of New York, you could be listening on the Odyssey app, for instance. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold are next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
This is Fesco in the Morning. Preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.